Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
So welcome to this Friday's episode of the podcast. If you are in a January money hole, like myself and Georgia, the post-Christmas pinch, then you've come to the right podcast. Today's guest, one absolute legend when it comes to money. I didn't think I was going to be saying that today. Money Mum, sharing tips to help you save money. She is a fabulous magazine columnist. She's also got a huge online following. She's got her brand new book, which is out. It is called Save Yourself Happy. Today we are speaking to Gemma Bird.
Hi girls, all right?
I really want to know how you got into this. Like how did, have you always been good with money? Because
yes.
I don't know about you, but so I'm terrible. We're both
are
terrible.
You?
Well, she spends £2.95 on a can of like chopped tomatoes. So that will tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, oh my gosh, that is so bad. What?
Not anymore.
I did win Ocado's top tin tomato shopper in Essex on Ocado. So maybe I'm going to add that to my Instagram bio.
Gemma, tell us.
I mean, you should. So basically I've always saved money from as early as I can remember. I remember age 7, you know, like walking to school, looking for pennies to find on the floor. Because obviously it was all cash back then, being 40, the world's changed, I know. But you could always find like pennies and pounds. And sometimes I found a pound coin. And I remember I'd go home and I had like this Kenko coffee jar. And I used to literally come home and like put all the pennies in that and then like write them on. And then as I got a bit older, it was always like trying to do Saturday jobs and washing people's cars or doing anything I could to earn extra cash, basically. And I remember when I got to a certain age in my teens, my dad said to me, okay, well, you can have an allowance. And I remember the first week, like I went out, spent it all like chocolates, crisps, you know, took basically. And I went to my dad and said, oh, I want to go to the cinema on Friday with my friend Jennifer. And he went, right, okay. I said, well, can I have some money? And he went, no, you've had your like £5 for the week, whatever it was back then. You're not having any more. You can't go to your boss when you run out of money and say, oh, sorry, I want some more money. It doesn't work like that, life. So straight away, that's my earliest memory from being like, wow, money runs out. And to replace it, you've got to work or you've got to wait for your next payday. And it's just a line that's stuck with me forever, really. So basically, I remember the next week I was like, right, well, if I want to go to the cinema and have a chocolate bar, for example, I need to save up 2 weeks allowance to do that. And I need to wash some cars. And so that's sort of the earliest memory I can have. And then I just got sort of so good with saving money. I remember my dad saying to me, whatever you save for your first car will match. When I was 18, I was going to get a car because obviously you have a year's driving lesson. So I saved up £7,000. And I remember when I told my dad, he was like,
God,
what? What? £7,000? I was like, yeah. And he was like, well, I was thinking you save about 300 quid. You know? He's like, well, I'm not matching that. I haven't got the money to match that, Gemma. I'm like, oh, brilliant. And I remember thinking, this is not very good, is it? So he didn't definitely do that one with me when I said I was going to save for a house. He was like, absolutely no way am I going to enter that competition with you. So I was just always being really, really, really driven. And I've never, and I always want to like make this really clear, never earned loads and loads of money. I'm dyslexic. I've never been like amazingly clever at school. I've never had a high powered job. I've always looked at my friends around me and they could be like on 50, 60, 70,000 and be like, wow, like these people on this money, how are they on this? You know, I knew I was never probably going to be one of those people.
Yeah.
Because I just didn't have that mindset. Not the mindset of I didn't want to do it. I just wasn't academic in that way like other people were. So it was always like, I'm only going to earn maybe a small amount of money. So I've got to make this small amount of money do the best I can for itself. So when I was 17 and 18 and people were going out and they were going out and buying like all the designer handbags and things like that, I just made the choice. And it was a choice. You know, you can either go and spend £800 in a handbag or save that £800. And I saved mine for my first home. And then when I met my partner, we went and both saved together because obviously I was living at home with my parents at the time. Yeah, so it was easy to save. It's not when you're renting and things. I never say it is. But it was about not keeping up with people. Like I always say to everybody, there's always someone that's doing better than you in life, but there's always someone that's doing worse than you in life. And it's even on Instagram now, you could look at anything and you could be like, oh my God, I really want that bag, or I really want to be like them, or I really want to be like them. And it's trying, and I know that's hard, I know it is, but it's trying not to worry about what other people are doing and just do you.
Do you know what I think? I think that it's the biggest gift that we can give our children is teaching them the value of money. And yeah. I don't know whether I'm 40 this year, Jeb, and I don't know whether it's a generational thing. I grew up watching both my parents being an absolute grafters. You know, they both worked their socks off our whole life to provide for us. But there wasn't necessarily was an understanding at a young age that like, you've got to make it work for you. Like, I don't think I had the understanding, or maybe the business head, because I was also dyslexic, that like money comes, you've got to hang on to it, but you've got to make money from money. So I've always been a saver. I've never been a splurger, you know, and my mum always said to me, doesn't matter if you're married, single, whatever, you've got to have money in the bank so that if all goes tits up, you can get out and you can be independent financially. So I've always had that, but I always had a fear about, you know, splurging out on like a house, for example, because I was a freelancer. So I was always going from like rent to rent, but had 20 grand in the bank, but I wouldn't put that towards a flat. So I was like, well, what if I need it for a rainy day? Because I'm a freelancer.
Yeah, I'm like that.
So it's really interesting. What I really want to do for my kids is make them understand the business side of money and how to make money from money. You know, they don't have to have loads of it, but like you can turn that 800 quid, like you said, into 1600 quid or save that or whatever you want to do, or invest in stuff that really works.
I spoke about this yesterday on my stories. Like I really want to get teaching of money into schools. That's my main thing I want to try and do this year, and get a petition and get as many women on it as possible, because it doesn't matter who you are, it affects you. Whether it's, even if you haven't got children, it can affect your grandchildren, or even if you're young, because we teach about sort of cooking certain things in school. All these skills are important, but how are we not teaching children about managing money, bills, if you get into debt, where to go, what to do, what a mortgage is, what you should do with your first paycheck? It is absolutely crazy to me that this is not taught in schools, and I'm so passionate about getting it in there.
You know what? And also, like, there's a real kind of divide, I guess, in it's potluck who your parents are. Because if you're brought up with parents who, you know how to invest, they, you know, buy stocks and shares, they, you know, they know how to do their taxes, fine, great, you've got that. But if you're brought up by parents who necessarily don't know, you are a massive disadvantage, like huge. I mean, my mum and dad, they've never really just talked about money, to be honest. Like I definitely haven't learned anything from them about money, like at all, nothing. Whereas my husband was a bit different. Like, it's like he always sort of had an idea about stuff. And I just didn't. And I think that if everyone sort of started like on a level playing field, that had even just the basic knowledge of money and VAT and taxes and all that stuff, how much better would we all be?
Unfortunately, it's the one thing we've all got in common. We all need a certain amount of money to live, right? Whether people say, you know, money doesn't buy happiness. It does to some degree, because if you're up at night worrying about your bills, feeding your children, putting heat in the room, you need a certain amount of money to make you happy. So you've not got that sleepless nights and those endless worries. You do need a certain amount of money. But it's mad to me how it's something we never discuss. We discuss almost everything in life, weight, who we fancy, what we're doing for a job. But we don't discuss, like, it's almost like, it's such a shame thing to say, I'm in debt, or I can't afford to do that. Or, you know, I could be going out with Zoe that night for a dinner, for example, and she's got a job on radio. So she might have a good job, a good wage. I could be at home not being able to afford that, but I might feel under pressure to say to Zoe, I can't afford to go there. Can we go there? So it's only a tenner. And why should we? You know what I mean? The receiving end of that person would be absolutely fine. She'd be like, I just want to hang with you. Let's just go and get a Diet Coke. But unfortunately, we feel that we can't say this to each other. Yeah. And it's so sad. And something has to change with that. It has to change.
Well, you're dead right about how it should be into schools. I mean, there's subjects now that's only just, you know, being made part of the curriculum, for example, menopause, and they are sort of catching up with things. So maybe if we shout loud enough about it, it will happen. Do you know what my husband did just before we move on to the questions? Last year, my husband put this, I can't remember which app it was, but it was an app, it was a money-saving app. And one of his things, as a trigger to save money, was every time it rained on this app, the app pulled money out of his bank account and put it into this savings account. So every time it rained, he'd set himself, I think it was like 20 quid or something. So that seems quite high. And then by the end of the year, by the end of the year, he had nearly £2,000 in this bank account that he hadn't even looked at. And he bought our flights to Kenya with it. Isn't that amazing?
Every time it rained, the app did it.
Where we live, every time it rained, the app pulled money out of his bank account and put it into that app savings account.
Wow. See, amazing. If I was doing it, I'd be like, okay, every time it snows.
You live in England, you just put every time it's sunny, you'd be fine.
I'll put in £1.50.
It's a good way of doing it. Things like that you don't necessarily notice it.
Good. Yeah, no, yeah. That is really good.
All right, let's crack on. George?
We have actually got so many questions.
Yeah.
Do you know what? This is a good one, actually. And this is kind of, you know, following on from what you were saying, Gemma. This is from Emily. How to not get sucked into expensive play dates?
I find this one really easy myself, but maybe that's because of the type of person I am. But I've always been like, when I was off on maternity leave with Brody, for example, he's 9 now, I obviously was the same as everyone else. You're on that low income and you're thinking, oh gosh, I just literally sort of did things like there was 7 of us, you know, like you get the baby groups, so 7 of us. So I said quite openly, why don't we all go to each other's houses once a week? And then you host that 1 week. So you just literally have a jar of coffee on the side. You buy some cakes. And as I say, you can go to any of the cheap supermarkets and buy like a nice cake for a couple of pounds. And then everybody come around. And then for the rest of the 6 weeks, you've got 6 more weeks of entertainment for free. So that's a really, really good idea to sort of, if there's a group of you, you rotate to each home and do something like that. Or say about meeting in the park and then take flasks of coffee with you, drinks with you. Especially if you've got older children, they're like, oh, can I have this? Can I have that? Can I have this? Can I have that? And that mounts up. No, you can't. It's in the pram, or I've bought a packed lunch with you. You know, there's ways of doing things. And just having those open and honest conversations, because you're probably, that is the time where you're all going to be in the same boat. So everyone's probably going to be like, oh, thank God someone come up with that idea. They're going to love that, you know, rather than going to these expensive coffee houses every time, because it really does add up.
Yeah. Love that. Okay, I'll keep this one anonymous. How to not feel guilty spending husband's money when on maternity leave without pay?
Well, I always say, whoever you are, whatever couple you're in, partnership you're in, my view on it is Adam doesn't work. He's a stay-at-home dad. He looks after the children. It's a joint income. You're a family. You're working as a unit, you know, and it's about having open and honest conversations. Like when we're buying food, things like that, we don't discuss that, because it's bringing it into the home. But if there was a purchase I wanted to buy, even though I'm the one that earns the money, if you like, I would still say to Adam, well, I really like this dress. I'm going to get this. And it's about, again, communicating with each other and not hiding things from each other, you know. Anything that you need to be open and honest about in a relationship. So why not be with money? Now, if there is a dress you really want and it's £100, say to your husband, say, look, can I afford to get this? I'd really, really fancy it. Do you mind? And then have, because he might be absolutely fine that month for money and be like, yeah, treat yourself. Like, why not? You know, you've had that baby. It's his baby as well, you know? So it's working together. It's not your money and their money. That's the way I look at it.
I also think as well, you know, if one person's on maternity leave, they're actually covering the childcare, and childcare is really expensive. And I always think that. So, you know, if you're sitting there, you know, on maternity leave feeling like you're not contributing to the family, you contribute
so much, like all the cleaning of the house, the cooking, the picking the kids up. That's what Adam does every day. Like if I had to pay for a cleaner, if I had to pay for childcare, that would mount up to thousands a month for 2 children, after school clubs, etc., etc. So sometimes when you're weighing it up, it's not even worth them going back to work unless you're on like a huge salary in the city or something.
I mean, and also, like you said, Gemma, it's about communication. If you can sit your partner down and say to them, look, I'm feeling really insecure and shit about this. Can we have an open and honest conversation? I need to just get it on the table. Money is such a weird one, like you said. It's the one that really triggers so much inside of people, and yet the conversation doesn't happen around it. Actually, that and sex, weirdly, we find that people don't want to talk about sex to their partners. They're happy to talk about it to everybody else.
Yeah,
when it comes to sitting down on their mates and stuff.
Yeah, that's so true.
There's another one. Newly single mum, how to save and make ends meet, X only giving a third of the costs.
Okay, so a good way to do that is to do things like, if you want to like replace toys and things like that, there's a lot of things that do like nearly new sales. Like there's the NCT companies that do like nearly new sales. I did a lot of that when I had Brodie and Bronte. Also, if you're struggling, even if it's the things around the home and you need bedding and things like that, if you go onto like the Facebook marketplace, a lot of people will give those things away for free. They just want to get rid of it. Like I've known people that have said, oh my God, I've done that. I put a message out saying I'm desperate for a bed, I'm desperate for a cot. People have said, come and pick it up. Because there's lots of people out there that are really comfortable and actually genuinely love it. They want to help. They want to give back to people that are not as fortunate maybe as themselves in that way. So that's a really good idea. Also, selling old things to replace new. I always, always did that when my kids were little. So I used to literally, I mean, I like selling on eBay, but there's anywhere you can sell. You know, that doesn't mean it's the place. It's wherever you feel comfortable. I used to sell everything old that I had to replace the new. And obviously, it's difficult sort of working if you've got a child at home, but if you can sort of work shift work or something like that, if your partner has got them, look for sort of evenings or weekends, like supermarkets. There's like driving, a lot of driving jobs and things you can do, like delivery drivers. I always see that. I had a delivery company come around the other day, and it was a lady. She was doing the Hermes parcels, you know, around her children. So that's ways of earning extra money. But obviously that can be hard if you've not got anyone to support your children. But if you do, you have a mum or something, it's a way you can earn a bit of extra income.
Yeah, brilliant. Love that. Here's a question from Sarah. Is a pension or just having savings that you can access better if you're self-employed?
That is really something that you would have to decide on. I personally think obviously having a pension is a great idea because obviously there's a lot of tax relief with a pension, so it's a great idea, and it's also something that you're putting away for the future. But obviously with a pension you can't get it back, so make sure you've always got a bit of savings if you're self-employed first that you can pull back on. It's a bit like paying into a mortgage, you can't get that money back out. So always, I would say have a float if you're self-employed, because obviously there's months where you earn that, but there's months where you earn nothing. So I'd say always have a float. And then if you can, each month set up a private pension and start paying into it, because then you've got, it's always good to have a split portfolio if you can, and you're in that situation, you know, where you can have a little bit of savings, you can have a big pot of savings, you can have property, you can have stocks and shares, you can have, it's great to have a split portfolio. You know, you want your money in lots of places, if possible.
Got my mind's going like this. Oh God, I've got to do that. I need to get my pension. I haven't got a pension. I feel really, it's like
have
getting.
You
no, again, like a self-employed person for the last 20 years.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Really like, you know, I do a job, I get it in the bank and I'm like, oh yes, I'm okay for the next couple of months. And then I'm like, oh gosh, what would it, you know, it's, I need to be it's more tired. Of an adult.
Even if you paid in a small amount, you know, or you've got what, like property what? In, well, you could pay in anything, whatever your situation is, you can pay £100
a month. We're doing made by mama's
okay.
pension, all right?
Okay, fine, okay, fine, fine, fine.
There's lots of questions on pocket money. So, you know, when and how much for chores or for the love and extra. If chores are done,
for the love,
how, no, for the love. How, you know, how much should we be giving? I think it's quite difficult, isn't it, because you talk to other mums and everyone will have such different views on it. But what's your view on pocket money?
My view on pocket money is when they've got slightly an understanding. I mean, like Bronte is two, nearly three, so at the moment there's no understanding, everything's a disaster. You put something in the wrong colour cup and she has a freaking meltdown, do you know what I mean, because it ain't pink, it's blue. So obviously there's no point at that age. But Brody's nine, so I'm thinking around about the age 10. I haven't done it yet, but he's starting to be very interested in money, starting to work out things. He'll say things to me like, can I have that? And I've always said, no, you can't, it's too expensive, even if it's £2, because I want him to learn the value. Can I afford that £2? Yes, that's not the point. I want him to think, oh okay, I can't have everything I want. Yeah. So I will probably, for myself, maybe around the age of 10, introduce it. He's got one of the Go Henry cards, so he puts a bit of money on that. They've both had a savings account since they were born anyway. And Brody does look into that, and I've started showing him things on that. And we give money when we go on holiday. We haven't been. But usually I give Brody some money when we go on holiday, so he's got certain things he can buy. And it's understanding, or we might walk down the shops now, and I might give him like £2, and he'll go into certain shops. Funnily enough, he went into Poundland and he went, oh, but this toy is £2. And I've, so if I spend that, I can literally only get one toy. And I was like, and he was like, but I thought everything was a pound. And I said, some things are more expensive. So it was actually really good. He was like, oh, well, hold on then. I might wait, you know. So I'm definitely going to introduce that next year. But again, it's something that you need to feel comfortable with. And it's child by child. Because some children are more advanced than others, you know. There might be a child that's really advanced at six that you want to give pocket money to. But some, right. Brodie's quite behind in certain areas, so it's better to wait with Brodie, whereas Bronte will probably have it younger. You can just tell she's like, she's 18 and she's two, you know.
It's quite difficult when you've got an older child and then two younger ones, or a younger one, because then the younger one looks at the older one and is like, well, how come they've got money to spend on toys and we don't? Like, that's what I'm going through at the moment, because I know that Isla gets pocket money for doing chores when she's at her mum's house, whereas here, obviously, Luna and Kit want to help with the chores, but then do I give them pocket money because Kit's three? I don't really know how to work. That's something else that we need to talk about off camera. What do you do? Yeah, would you just give them a fiver a week for being legends? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, Axel's got a wallet.
Yes!
Which I basically use when I haven't got any, I've got no money in the house. I'm like, oh yes, Axel's got
Axel's wallet. Yeah, hasn't he got a driving license in there or something?
No, he's got a taxi card.
Oh yeah, that's it.
He's five. Someone at school gave it to him. So I'm not sure what he's planning. But yeah, so I don't know. I find it really difficult. Some people say they give £2 a week. Some people say they give £10. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I think for you, again, it's about not worrying about everybody else. As you say, it's so personal. It's like a child's name in a way. Do you get what I mean? Like, you have to do what you think's right for that. And as I say, like me, I wouldn't probably give to a three-year-old. No, I wouldn't. But that doesn't mean I'm wrong or right. Mm. It's just my opinion. And we're all going to have a difference of opinions on that. And I think do what you feel. As long as you're educating your children around money and it does run out, and giving them some kind of base, then I think that's a fantastic thing to do, whatever age you want to do it at.
Agreed. Yeah. Following on from children's pocket money to children's futures, the best savings and investment accounts for kids' futures.
Okay, so with this one, it depends what your attitude to risk is. So for myself, I've got Vanguard for my children, but that does go up and down. It follows the stock market. So the returns can be absolutely huge, and actually we've done really well the last couple of years, but of course it could drop and we could lose everything. So it really, really does depend on your, you know, how you want to risk it. Usually if it's a long-term investment, like we want to keep our kids money in there till they're about 21. To be honest, I want to keep it in there till they're probably 36, see how responsible they are. But if it is that you want to like keep it in there for a long period of time, you're probably going to be all right with a stocks and shares ISA or something like that, or an investment plan like that, because you've got the time. If you do lose, you've got plenty of time for it to grow. So I would look into that, but again, you'd need to speak to a proper qualified financial advisor. I'm not one of those. But also, you know, like the Halifax, they've always been quite a good account to sort of go for kids accounts. HSBC and Santander have got some good rates at the moment. That's good ones that you can go and look at, and they're sort of instant access, or you can put them in there and your kids can get to them. So my children have got a Halifax account, and up to sort of £5,000, I think it pays 2% on. So they've got that, and that's all they've got in there is the max five. But that's if they ever needed anything, it's there, it's instant access. Yeah. And although Vanguard is, it's pulling it in and out and you lose certain money on it. So
yeah,
I've split it, but that's what I do with everything. So
It's not like one size fits all. Yeah. I guess if you've got a 15-year-old who might want a car in a couple of years, it's probably not great to go look at an ISA because it might drop and then they're not going to have the money when they come to need it. We'll be right back after this short break.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This is what we were talking about earlier. And actually, a lot of people don't know, you know, have this question. How to manage joint and own account in marriage? Should we have both?
This is interesting because this is my situation, actually. This is really interesting.
We have got a joint account, as in Adam's on my account, but does Adam ever use it? No. The only reason I've got him on it is a money tip, actually, because we do I pay the ultimate reward account where I pay a certain amount each month, a few pounds a month, and I get my mobile phone cover, my travel cover, breakdown cover, everything covered. But if Adam's on it as well, he also gets everything as well. So his travel for the year's covered and everything like that. So that's the reason he's on my account to save money.
Are you writing that down, Georgia?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Because then you only need to pay out one account fee. Because I know loads of people pay out two account fees, whereas we just got the one that we pay for. So both of our travel is covered for the year, like in travel insurance, sorry. Not actual travel.
So you're like getting the benefits from the accounts by having them join.
Yeah, so we use it for benefits, but sometimes my granddad might write us like a joint check, you know, old school. So we sort of always thought it was a good idea to have one. But I've got my own account and Adam's got his own account and we're very much independent. But then I'm very independent, obviously, with money. Adam's always been very, very independent with money. But again, there's nothing wrong with having both. A lot of people I know also do this. They have their own account. The husband or the wife has their own account, and then they have an account in the middle where they both pay a lump sum into that pays all the bills and everything. So
that's what we do.
Pay £1,000 a month into that, pays all the bills, so it's fair. Then you've both got your pot of money to buy birthday presents with for your other half, you know. So that's a very good way of doing it as well. So you've got that joint account for things if you want to do things. You think, well, I want it to be more fair, or I think we should both put in this. If your partner doesn't want to do a joint account on their account, then that's a way of getting around it and saying, okay, can we do this together? Can we open a third account? Yeah. And it's ours.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I mean, it's such a minefield and every person's setup is so different. But I think if you are in a situation where you can have your own accounts, but then you have a joint account, like you say, to cover the bills, to cover the childcare costs, to cover your car, your gym, whatever it is, then that's quite a nice way of doing it, because then you know that is all shared. Like, you know, there are certain things, for example, Christmas time, where I take the financial responsibility and I'll do all the Christmas presents, you know, sort all of that side of it out. And then obviously they all tip up on Christmas Day and Dos is like, oh, wow, look at all these lovely presents. And I'm like, yeah, but who did? But then he'll
get one, Zoe.
These are for the kids, mate. These are for the kids. But you know what I mean? So like, I think there are certain things that slip through the net, but I think if you have a joint account, then all of that sort of stuff is very shared, which sits quite well with me.
So we've always just had joint accounts. So like,
you don't have your own account?
No, everything's always been joint. So like, oh. I think when I moved in with James, I didn't have a job because I'd moved to be with him. So I'd, you know, left my job to be with him and I was going to get another job. So it had to be joint because otherwise I wouldn't have had anything. You know, I wouldn't have had anything. I was 21 or whatever. Wow. And then we just continued from there, like just having everything joint. So there is no, I guess if one of us is doing better at one time, it doesn't make any difference. Do you know what I mean?
It's always going to be level. Right?
Yeah, nice. I guess
who
it's just
wrong. Yeah,
it's kind of always how we've been, but there have been some bumps in the road where it's been quite unfair. You know, like I'll happily go off and spend lots of money on clothes, and then he's like, "Hang on a minute." Like what? So you know, it's not all plain sailing. It's,
but you know, we've got our separate Made by Mama's account now. So you say you don't have your own account, but you actually do now. And I don't, that James is not
that's,
on that one,
that's
is he?
That's my runaway fund. Don't tell him that. I'm joking.
Zoe, you want to watch her if you've got a joint account with her? I was going to say, mate, we better get one together. I'm not getting one with her.
Your runaway account, lol.
Yeah, from you, from James.
That's hysterical. Okay, this one's quite serious. And I think probably a lot of people are going through this or have gone through it. How to get out of credit card debt. Transfer to 0%, but just can't pay them off on our wages with no pay rises for years. And it's like Groundhog Day. I want to go on holiday, etc., but we just can't get out of debt.
Okay, so if you're in a debt where you've tried everything and you're on, I mean, going on 0% is obviously the first thing I'd advise, to keep that debt as low as possible for this, so there's no interest. It's not occurring. But you need to probably go and speak to somebody and see if you can work out a debt management plan, somebody that can sit down and help you. You know, go to Citizens Advice, get the list of registered debt management plans from them. They have them all on there. get somebody to put you in the right direction, that's somebody that's backed by the government. It's completely free. They'll put you in a plan and help you get out of it. If you're in such a situation where you don't feel there's any light at the end of the tunnel, you've cut back absolutely everything. There's no holiday. Because there's no magic wand. I can't, unfortunately, go, oh, do this, and then magically you're out of debt. Try not to overthink about it or worry about it too much. Once you've spoken to someone and they put you on a plan, it's going to make things a lot easier knowing that there is light at the end of the tunnel that you can pay
you
off.
Know where you are. Exactly. Yeah.
And if you've got credit cards and obviously the interest height, move that if you can, anything to 0%. And even if it's only an extra pound, you can pay off of it a week. Also, that's a really good point because they might be thinking, we never can get out of this. We can never, ever pay it off. But you might be able to afford an extra £5-10 a month. Well, that will eventually pay it off. You're eating into it. So any amount chipping away helps.
This is from Meg. How to do self-care on a budget? Love a pamper, but just can't afford it right now. I think we hear so much, don't we, about, you know, taking time for ourselves, doing something for, you know, doing something for you to make you feel better, but it costs money.
It does cost money. I mean, for me, I've always done things like, now I have, and I go to the nail salon and I treat myself because my finances have got better. But for sort of as long as I can remember, I bought a nail kit, a gel nail kit, and did it from home. So I paid out that one time, but then it didn't cost me anything. It was costing me sort of £20 every 2 weeks to go and get the infills and the gels on them. So I did it from home. I bought the kit. I think it was about £30. So it was that one initial outlay. So every 2 weeks I did my own nails. It was a bit of time for me. Buy things like face masks and buy like the own products. So like the big brands, you can get the own products in there. There's even the cheap stores now that do them where you can have like a face mask. You can do your own nails, you know, put some fake tan on. You can get fake tan and things like that in Poundland and things like that. So it hasn't got to be the nth degree, the most expensive thing. Like, do your own eyebrows, relax, run a bath, read a book.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. That's my top tip, actually, is to go, you know, like you said, Gem, you don't have to spend a fortune. You can go to one of the sort of cheaper high street kind of beauty shops and get yourself some bubble bath. Doesn't have to be fortunes. Get the kids to bed, get the candles on. Any old candles will do, even those ones that you shove in those weird candle holders that you have at Christmas. Put them in your bathroom and just turn the lights down and have some really nice music. Get a bubble bath on and put one of those, you know, sheet masks on that you can get for a quid. Just do that. It really does reset you.
Worth
exactly
of things to do. You know, people say that all the time, like, oh, I want my eyebrows done. I'm like, I'll do my own, or do your own nails. You know, all these beauty things, do your own. Like, if you love eyelashes, you can get like packs of them on the auction sites, like where you can buy like 5 eyelashes for £5, and then you can reuse them and things like that instead of having the individual ones. So you feel more glamorous. Like today, I thought, I'm getting up this morning and I'm going out, I'm seeing you guys, I want to feel a bit made up, so I just put a strip on. You know what I mean? And it makes you feel good about yourself, doesn't it?
And you know what? There's so many YouTube tutorials now. Like, you can like be your own beauty therapist because you can learn how to do anything online.
Just be careful with the waxing. Just be really, really careful with the waxing, all right? I've attempted to wax my foof once and it went really, really wrong. And it was so painful, I thought I'd whip my clitoris off. No, well, that's true.
Ow!
Definitely don't do that then.
Stay away from that.
Go to V. Luckily, I didn't, though. Safer.
Yeah, luckily, it's still intact. Right.
The best place to look for deals on days out, examples like Peppa Pig World, Sea Life Centres, because they can be so expensive.
Yeah, so a really good tip there is always look when you're going to see, you know, like on the cereal boxes and things like that, and the vouchers in the newspapers and things like that. So I always try and show them whenever I see them. If I go into a supermarket and I think, like, there was a variety pack at Christmas and they were doing, like, buy one, get one free, you know, like, on the, you just cut it out. So you bought, like, the variety pack for £1, but then you were saving, like, a whole adult ticket on all the expensive things. So always look for vouchers like that and go in those times. And they're usually pretty flexible as well. They're really, really good deals. Also, if you Google, so I live in Essex, for example, 3 days out in Essex, so 3 days out wherever you are, it gives you a lot of the time a list of things to do with your kids for free. So we've actually gone through loads of them and found loads of amazing places that we can go with the children. It's been absolutely fantastic. So that's a really, really good tip, is to, like, literally be as bold as that. Just put it into Google, 3 days out, whatever area you want to go to. Get in the car, take a packed lunch with you and just go.
Brilliant. Yeah, such a great tip. This isn't a question, but this is just a lovely statement. No questions, but great that you're talking about women and money. Such an important topic. We agree completely.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And from Kimberly, food shopping on a budget for a different family members. How's the best way to do it, basically?
Okay, the best way to start is write a list. Go around your cupboards. The food waste is absolutely horrific at the moment. I go around my friends and I'm like, I see them chucking things out. I think I chucked out one carrot once and it nearly gave me a heart palpitation that I was wasting it because it had gone so mouldy.
Oh.
I never, ever, ever, ever waste food. Ever. And I never do, even now, if I'm in a better financial situation, I never would, because it's like, I might as well just throw money in the bin. That's the way I look at it. It's just, I'm just so passionate about it. You've got apps like Too Good To Go where they literally, supermarkets give away free food. So if you download that and have a look at that, you can actually get food for free. Buy things like vegetables that, you know, like you get like the odd boxes and things like that for cheaper. Also, make sure you write a list, because you might have tins of tomatoes in your fridge. Tins of tomatoes, pasta, but you might just need the meat for a bolognese. Buy that and then pack that out. I always do things like that with veg, so like carrots and things like that are really cheap, so blend those up, so then you're using half meat, half carrots. It's good for your kids, but then you're doubling up on the food load. So if you make a bolognese and you like put a pack of carrots in and a pack of meat, you know, so all the time, so skin, it would like make like six dinners, for example, or probably like eight dinners. And then I'd buy like pasta, like spaghetti, the value one, it was like 25p for a pack of it. And then I'd freeze that up, and then I could do like sort of six, seven dinners for like a couple of quid. And I used to do that all the time. So that's a really, really good tip. Also, when you're going around the supermarkets, don't just walk in and think, oh my God, these are the best deals, because you know they put them at the end of the aisles, don't they, to trick you. Don't do that. Walk in and actually look. It might take a bit of time, but allow a bit of extra time, because you'll save yourself so much money. If I said to you, you're going to save 50 quid on your food shop, that might take you 5 hours to earn 50 quid. So if it's going to take you an extra hour in the supermarket, you're actually getting yourself 4 hours back of money that you've lost. So think of it like that as well. What you earn per hour is so important. It might get you in the mindset. When you go down the supermarket, have a look. So it might say like ketchup, at how many litres? So I say 8p. Per 100
mil.
The next one says 20p per 100 mil. So it might look cheaper, but then you know, right, that one's the cheapest because it says 8p. So I'll do that all the time before I pick certain things up. And then like the sheets of toilet roll, it might say 20 sheets to the roll. And then this one says 4. So you know, that isn't the deal. That's the deal. So really good. They're really good ideas as well that I do all the time.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And when you online shop, actually, that's really clear. I noticed that recently. Like, it's really clear that 6p for that every 100 mil or whatever. Whereas when, obviously, in the supermarkets, you've got to take the time to look a bit more, I guess. But yeah, when you do an online shop, it's all just there, like right there with everything.
And make sure you get all the, you know, like things like Tesco's, the club cards and things like that, because so many people I harp on about and still don't have them. These cards are free, whatever shop you shop in, like
you don't have one.
I mean, you're literally throwing money away. I can't get my head around it.
You're giving me anxiety, but I'm already feeling anxious. I go to the supermarket, they go, have you got a club card? And I go, no.
And they do you know everything in Tesco's, for example, is always cheaper with a club card. It'll say club card price, normal price. So it'll be like £7 or £6. So you're saving like pounds a lot of time per item. Plus you then get points and vouchers back. And that can give you like another 100 to 200 quid at the end of the year to put towards your food shop or other things you can use them for.
Okay, we're off to go and sign up for a club card.
Can you fill out my form for me, George? Because they give me, every time I go, I must fill out 25 forms.
Zoe has form fear, to be fair, don't
you? I do.
Any
it's
form
a thing.
Comes, you're like, no, don't want it. No, not interested.
Oh my goodness.
No, got to fill out a form. No, thank you.
Form fear is a condition. Lots of people listening will have that form fear. I've spent my entire life giving it to either Georgia, my sister, or anyone else that will help me for money.
I hate filling out forms, actually. I'll give it to Adam. So
exactly.
I'll give you on that. But if it's going to save me a few quid, I'll fill it out.
All right. Okay. One more, George?
Yeah, let's finish up on this. Any tips on how to stop overspending?
Yes. So if you are an overspender, stop and think about it. There's a couple of things you can do. The first is ask yourself, do you need it or do you want it? Okay. If you want it and you don't need it, if you want it, so say you really want that designer handbag and it's £1,000, for example, okay, there's lots of bags out there that are more than that, and you really, really want it, ask yourself a question. Have you got 3 to 4 times that handbag in your bank account? If you've only got £1,000 in your bank account, you can't afford that £1,000 handbag. Technically you can, but you can't, because then you're completely wiped out. You've got no backup. You've got nothing you can afford to buy. You can't buy your food. If you've got £4,000 in your bank account, yes, you can afford to buy it. Then ask yourself the question, Will I be really, really upset? Is this something I can't live without? Is this something I've always wanted? If the answer is yes, go ahead and buy it. Treat yourself. You can afford it. You really, really want it. But ask, stop and think about things before you buy them. Don't just pick things up willy-nilly. Use things up as well. Overspenders, they're the worst. You'll go in there and they'll go out and they'll buy, say, hairspray. They've got 2 cans that they've got that much left in at home. Use up all your old beauty products. Use everything up in your house. Your toothpaste, squeeze them out. Get the life out of everything. Your foundations, everything. Stop buying this. We've got this culture where, well, you've got 2 black eyeliners because you haven't sorted your drawer out at the bottom of them, but you go and buy another black eyeliner. I've got a friend like that. She's always in the shops. I'm like, you don't need another nude lipstick. I saw you had about 14 in your handbag. Oh, no, I don't. I'm like, yes, you do. Get a little brush and get the rest of it out. Like, that's how I've always lived. Like, use everything up first.
Georgia looks absolutely horrified. If you could see Georgia's face right now, she's like that.
I bet I could save you millions, Georgia.
This is me. Do you know what? And you live close to me. Maybe I need to have like a one-to-one with you every week.
Yeah, no.
Why don't you live near me? Not fair. You guys are going to be going around.
We'll be out with our club cards and our point systems getting our freebies.
We're on our 2-for-1 cocktail.
The thing is, Jem, you'd be calling me from aisle number 9 going, I've just snuck in some of those really expensive canned tomatoes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm panicking, but I'm panicking.
I'm heading back in again now.
Gemma, you're an absolute star. I've loved this. It's one of my favourite podcasts I think we've ever recorded. I feel like I've taken away so many great tips as well.
Oh,
so
thank you. Well, I love you both too. You're really nice girls and well done everything you've achieved as well. It's bloody amazing. Got
thank
support
you.
Other women.
Get yourself around to Georgia's house immediately, all right, Gemma?
Oh, I will do, yeah. Don't worry.
Save me.
All right, take care, lovely.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye.
What a legend Gemma Bird is.
Oh, do you know what though? I really need to get my life in check.
I feel exactly the same.
Oh gosh. Where she said, you know, you know when you think about how much money comes into your account and then how it just disappears. I feel like with Gemma, it probably doesn't disappear in the same way that it does in my account.
I had the feeling of when my dad used to sit me down and be like, right, now, have you got this sorted? And have you done this? And in your head, you're going, yeah. But in reality, it's no. That's how I felt. I felt like I was talking to a really mature, sorted person to a couple of absolute doofuses.
Do you know what? We actually need people like Gemma in the world, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
We really do, because it is actually so important. And I've always used to just think, oh, I'm just not a money person. I'm just not one of those people, you know? I'm just really bad, and that's just the way it is. And James is good, and so we balance each other out.
Yeah.
But actually, I need to kick up the arse, and I can't keep burying my head in the sand, actually. And I need to get better.
Yeah, you do. And I tell you what, you do it for both of us.
Right,
and
okay.
Then we'll be sorted, all right? Because I've got form fear was the best thing to come out of that. Now it's got an official
form
name.
Form fear. Actually, and if you haven't got form fear, or if you have, then face it head on and vote for us, please. It's a multiple choice form, actually. We have been nominated for a Glow Mama Award for the best podcast. And we would really appreciate if you could vote. We are begging. We really, really, really want to win.
We do want to win. We love doing this podcast. We've been doing it for nearly 4 years now. And as you know, if you've been on this journey with us since the beginning, you know, it's not about the awards and it's not about the, you know, how well you've been doing. But at the same time, it's nice to get a little bit of recognition. Yeah. And we love how much you guys support us. This won't give you form fear because it literally takes about 2.5 minutes to do. All you do is go to www.glowmamaawards.com and then you just go down to best podcast, you click on our name and then you go submit and then it's done. Entries close this Sunday on the 16th of January. So please, 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 if you have a second, that would be amazing.
Yeah,
now let's move on to products.
Let's do it. Shall I kick us off?
Yeah, you kick us off.
So I actually spoke about this on Instagram recently, but for Christmas, my mum bought me some Trini London products. Anyone remembers Trini and Susanna? Trini has gone away and started, it's like a skincare makeup kind of brand. A lot of her products are hybrid products. And there's one which I absolutely love, and it's called BFF De-Stress, and it's a serum with a little bit of like a tint in it. So it's not okay. It's not really makeup. I wear it day to day with just like just on its own, and then I put like a little bit of concealer like around my nose and on my chin and stuff. But it's so good, and my skin was so dry, and like it was really suffering, actually. I don't know if that's to do with stopping taking the collagen. I have started that again. But it does just feel so so much more nourished. That's the only way I can describe it. And it looks it looks more nourished. So yeah, I'd really recommend for like those kind of no makeup days. She's also got loads of other stuff in the range. Lots of it comes in pots that you can put on with your fingers. So again, time saving. Yeah, check it out.
And also, let's get Trini on the podcast. I think she'd be hilarious.
We would love Trini on the podcast.
So yeah, we're actually going makeup to skincare. I'm going to talk about Paula's Choice today, which is a skincare brand that I've loved for a really long time. I feel like they need to be more known than they actually are. And I've been using their BHA exfoliant, which is incredible at kind of... Someone sent me a message the other day saying, pores are not doors. You can't open and close them. Because I was like, oh, they're really good at closing pores. So they don't do that. But they sort of shrink your pores and make them look less visible. And they also give you like a really amazing complexion, really smooth, really hydrated. And I've just started using, well, when I was away, I was using their SPF 50 moisturiser. And then I've been using their night moisturiser as well, which is an anti-aging cream. And yeah, just like people have been saying, that my skin looks kind of healthy.
It does. It looks really, it does look lovely. And do you know what?
I feel like it's in good shape at the moment.
I haven't tried Paula's Choice, so I think I might go on and have a little look and see what I can find.
Well, they've got a big sale going on at Cult Beauty at the moment. You can get up to 50% off. So definitely check them out.
Okay, I definitely will. Did you know it's another makeup product? Do you know what it is? I ran down so much of my makeup before Christmas, and then now I'm like restocking it all again. So I was actually sent this brow pencil from a Scottish brand. It's a really small brand called Niche Brow Company to try. And I've tried it over the last few weeks. They also do, you know, like a sort of a brow serum as well. But it's too early to say whether I think that works or not. But I love the brow pencil. I've got it in a soft brown. And it's just, I've got quite fluffy brows, but they're not very dark. So if I don't do a tiny bit of pencil, I literally look like I have no eyebrows. In fact, Gigi often points to me in the morning if I haven't penciled in my brows and goes, oh, mummy, you don't know eyebrows.
She's Essex already. I love her.
She goes, I've got eyebrows. So, you know, it saves me from being trolled by my two-year-old. But it's cruelty-free, and they're cruelty-free and vegan products. And just a small brand, and I like supporting like these small makeup brands, because the beauty industry is such a huge one. So to bring out a product, if you're, you know, an independent, it's a big thing to do. So have a little look.
Love that. And I am going to finish up with another small brand, actually. They're called Novo London, N-O-V-O. And we always bang on about like having a capsule wardrobe collection, so like you just need a few key pieces that you spend a little bit more money on, like an amazing blazer or a great like piece of cashmere or something like that. This is what this brand does. They do like timeless essentials for your wardrobe. You can start building your capsule wardrobe, and I've literally just bought an amazing cashmere like roll neck, so it looks like
oh my god, I'm looking at their Instagram page now.
I know,
this is exactly what I need.
Yeah, do you know what, they haven't got that many pieces in the collection, but the pieces that they have got are beautifully designed. The quality is amazing. You know, you are going to spend a little bit more money, so it's like £150 for a jumper, but that jumper will last you this season, next season, you know what I mean?
So it's all timeless, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I want to give them a little shout out.
Lovely. But thank you so much for listening today. We're trying to start the new year on a high, and also we're brainstorming for topic ideas on a Friday. We've loved this money chat. So if there's anything you think that that we haven't covered or you'd like to see us cover, then please do just drop us a DM. We're on @MadeByMamas.
Yeah, and also please, if you have time, after you voted for us at glowmamaawards.com, if you can rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast as well. We're asking a lot of you today, but that's just the kind of people we are. That would be amazing. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.